afternoon, gals, and welcome to Amazing Women, Brains, Beauty, and Style, with host Dr. Marlene. Discover what makes women amazing at any age. Now, here's your host, Dr. Marlene.
Oh, hello and hello and hello, everybody, and how are you today? This is Dr. Marlene, and you are listening to Amazing Women, Brains, Beauty, and Style. This is where we inspire women to go from well-behaved, right, to making history, because we know that everyday women are the real history makers, and those are the ones we should be looking up to. And how is everybody today? We're going to have a lot of fun today. We're going to learn a lot of things today. So, and this may help a lot of us that are out there that work out of our homes and stuff. So this can be a great day from a really wonderful person. So I want you to sit down, and I want you to grab whatever you're drinking today. And I want you to meet my guest today. Now, Barbara Kaplan has been the president of Design Dimensions for 27 years. She's an author, a speaker, and does seminars on her Bajaro method of design. She has a weekly column in the Scottsdale Tribune and a monthly column in the City Sun Times. She's been featured in major magazines, including House and Garden, and has appeared on many, many television shows. Welcome to Amazing Women, Barbara. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great, and I am so happy to be with you, Marlene. And it is a sunshine state here. We are just bright and sunny and having a good time.
Oh, yes. I know. She's in Arizona, everybody, and believe me, it's hot there.
It is hot, but not as hot as usual, so we're kind of happy ourselves.
Oh, you know what? Maybe you are going to get some of this junky weather that we have, you know?
That would be okay. For us, we'd be happy, I think. Although,
yeah, my son's comment is, because he lives there, it's always as hot as the face of the sun. He says they have two seasons. He said, really nice and hot as the face of the sun. And I said, you know, that's just about right, because that whole stretch from Phoenix all the way up in through Las Vegas and all the way up into Nevada, it's all the same way, isn't it?
Very much so. You're absolutely right. And our lifestyle is different here because of it.
Oh, yeah. You guys get to go out and sit outside in the middle of winter when everybody else is covering up and closing their doors and windows, right?
Exactly. And when we go out, it's to jump in the pool and run back into the air conditioning.
Okay. And hope your feet don't touch the ground,
right,
because it's
right.
Very hot.
It is. You're right. We have to wear the right kind of shoes, too.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, you've had a company for 27 years. How did it become your passion to be an interior designer? And did you start working for another company first?
Well, you know, you're the first person who has ever asked me that question about another company. And no, I did not work for another company in Arizona, and I'm sorry I didn't. So if there's any budding designers out there, my advice is, yes, it is a good idea to make some contacts and work for a company that has those contacts. But I didn't. And I started all by myself, and it really was an interesting journey because I was out of school, and I realized that I am working with, I was very excited, of course, and here was this glamorous job of designing and decorating and telling people how they should live, and something just didn't feel right. So I explored, how can I, at my young age at that time, really tell people how to live? I am invited into their most personal space, their home, and who am I to tell these strangers that I know nothing about how to live? Mm. And that really was the beginning of how I realized that I had a tremendous responsibility as an interior designer and that I really had no right telling people what they should do.
That's very interesting. You sound completely different from most interior designers that I know and have talked to.
Yes, and that is very true, and that's why I have the Bajaro method, because I realized that I had to create a different method, and I'm now teaching it, certifying other design professionals in my method, because so many designers have realized also that there has to be another way. And one of the things I tell designers is when you go into a client's home, you have to leave your ego outside the door.
And that's a hard thing for a lot of designers to do.
Well, it is, and with all due respect, you know, designers are artists, and our canvas really is our client.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very hard not to start decorating our client, and we have to really first interview them and what I call do a design analysis and really discuss the depths of who they are, what they're all about, how they want to live, what they like in their environment, in their current environment, and more importantly, even what they don't like.
Well, we're going to get into real specifics a little bit later on, because I have a whole bunch of questions about specifics, because there's so many people that are thinking about starting their own thing now, because they've, you know, been laid off, and they're finally forced into doing working from home and stuff. So there's a lot of things going on right now. But one thing I do want to ask you, do you enjoy being a woman business owner, and do you think it gives you a design advantage?
Being a woman?
Yes, being a woman business owner.
Well, first of all, I love nothing more, and even on a bad day, I'm still happy that I am a woman business owner.
Yay!
Yes. And a little more specifically, I love what I do. And that isn't to say that someone else should be an interior designer. It just was very right for me. And I think that the most important thing is honoring yourself and finding out who you are in every aspect of your life. And I'll talk a little more about that aspect in design as well.
Do you find that that interior design work is kind of like an up-and-down industry with the economy?
Well, right now, yes. And
okay.
Quite truthfully, in the 27 years that I've been in business, I have not felt that as much as right now.
Wow.
And people are, you know, we're a discretionary industry. And we really, people can live with an older sofa or a certain color wall on their, paint on the wall and not change it right now. And I think that so many people are, however, staying home, they're staycationing instead of vacationing, and that any money that there is very wisely spent in their home. It is their biggest investment right now.
Definitely.
And, you know, if you're staying home more, this is the environment in which you have the opportunity to really feel good. And only you can, the only environment that you can control in your life is your own home.
That's absolutely true. And even something as simple as moving some furniture around will give you a new look and new outlook on life, you know?
Absolutely. Yes.
And I used to do that to my mother all the time.
Yeah.
My father would call.
That's
and he'd
true.
Call, do I have to turn the lights on when I come home tonight?
Yeah. The chair
he
is
never
no longer
knew what
there,
to expect
right?
with me.
To sit down. But really, the opportunity is there to change your life without spending any money. Just by moving your furniture.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, redesign is a big thing. Staging your home is a big thing. And that's really a wonderful way to have new approach. One of the things that I tell people to do is take a photograph of your room, because when you're looking at a picture of your room, you see things very differently than when
what a great idea.
You're in the room. So you're looking at it rather than experience being in it. And as you do, you can say, gee, why is that picture hanging over there when it could be hanging over there? Or the chair
right.
looks so much better in this other place. And so it's fun. It's a fun thing to do, and you can even do it with your family and play games around it and see who comes up with the most ideas.
Now, that I like. That is a really good idea. With digital cameras today, you know, it's not a big deal. You just put it up on your screen, and away you go, right?
Yes. And then you can take a picture of the new room and see if you like it better.
Well, I like that idea. I'd be moving furniture all the time if I did something like that. And sometimes I have
creativity.
To watch myself walking through a room. Now, something that I've noticed is most designers want you to think that interior design is really the secret world of interior design. Only they make it all happen. Now, is that a myth? And if so, why?
Well, I like to say that the secret world of interior design is, well, you know what the secret is? The secret is that it's all about you.
Now, and you couldn't be any better on your timing, because that was a great timing aspect. We're up against our first break, so I want everybody to please stay with us, and we're going to see you right on the other side of this break. Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Amazing Women, Brains, Beauty, and Style. It's Dr. Marlene. You know, if you got a question today, you can call in. It's 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. Okay, Barbara, you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Now, you were saying about the secret world, and mainly it's about you.
Well, it is. And if you put your hand on your chest and say, this is my interior, that's what interior design really is. The rest of it is exterior design, and it really should be called exterior design. And knowing your own interior is the key to creating an environment where you're expressing yourself and you're living in an environment that is authentic for you. And when that happens, you're comfortable. You know, what people want the most in their own home is to feel comfortable.
Yeah, you want to be able to, you know, slouch on the couch if you want to.
If that's what you want, then you've got to create that.
Yes, exactly.
Whatever it is. If you want a formal home, you can have a formal home. If you just want to be casual and relaxed and put your feet up, that's fine. There is no right or wrong. It's all about you.
I love that. I really like that because nothing's worse than walking into a place and you look around and you go, do they really live here?
Exactly. And that's so sad.
Yeah, it really is. I went into a place people had bought, and they'd bought it furnished and everything. And I said, yes, but this isn't you. These are the previous owner's furnishments. She said, but I don't have to go and buy stuff. And I said, trust me, you are going to change this.
Yeah, and people are so afraid. And that's really, I think, the fear factor. I like to say that the real four-letter word, F word, in design is fear.
Wow.
And it's because people are just afraid of, I think, making a mistake. And then if they make a mistake, they have to live with it. They also have to pay it. You know, they have to pay for it. And
oh, yes.
Sometimes that's a scary thing. And a lot of people just don't know what really they want.
Well, now, one of the chapters in your book, you say interior design is not a science.
Yes.
What do you mean by that? Well, we know it's not a science. It's more of an emotions than a science, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And it's really about expressing yourself through those emotions and through your design choices, because then you're picking things that speak to you, that have meaning to you, things that relate to you, look like you, feel like you, so no one can walk into your house and say, wow, this isn't your home. Really and truly, you cannot make a mistake. If you like it, if it feels right, it is right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's not about the room. You know, the name of my book is Rooms Have No Feelings, You Do,
mm-hmm.
And that's really the most important thing to remember. Yesterday, as an example, I heard someone say, oh, I have a very small room, so I'm going to have to change my king-size bed and get a smaller bed. So what if I don't sleep so well? And I went, oh, my goodness. Please, let's figure out how we can make this big bed in a small room work for you, but you've got to sleep.
Yeah.
You know,
it's the most important thing you can get.
People sacrifice themselves for the room.
Okay, let's talk along the lines of being your own designer. Now, tell us about your preference profile questionnaire and how it'll help all of us do-it-yourselfers.
Okay. Well, this is one of my favorite things because it's my newest thing, and I'm working on it right now. It's just about completed and will be out in the fall on our website called How to Be Your Own Interior Designer. Here's my little plug here.
Of course.
and it's all brand new. And as you said, most designers do not designed for the people that they're working for. They're decorating the room to make it look good. And through this preference profile, I'm able to help people discover themselves. They can find out what colors they like best, what materials they like, the fabrics, the patterns, the wood, the metals. It's ongoing in shapes and style. And everything that you need to know about how to decorate your own home, you already know. You just don't know that you know.
That, you know what, I do believe that totally. Now, we're still looking at the do-it-yourselfers. Now, you suggest that we look at our family history. Why is history important? How far back should we go? And how do we, as do-it-yourselfers, interpret what we find?
Well, the biggest thing about looking at your family history is gaining some freedom of your
Ooh.
Own from that history, because we have ties to our family, and some of us feel that we even have an obligation to keep a piece of furniture that we don't like.
Not me.
Or decorate because somebody said our mother's home had certain things in it that we think we have to repeat when we don't even like it. Can I give you a short story?
Oh, sure, please.
Well,
stories are great.
Okay, in my own life, my parents were antique importers,
mm-hmm.
and I was raised with the most beautiful French, European, English antiques
wow.
that you can imagine, museum-quality pieces. And when I got married, I, of course, begged my father, can I have this, can I have that? And we filled our home with antiques. And about 15 years later, we ended up buying a contemporary home. And
I was going to say, that's not what I've seen in your picture.
Right, exactly. And so I said to my father, I said, are you okay with my selling some of these pieces or taking them back? And he said, okay. Well, I called in a dealer who flew in actually from New York and bought everything. And I didn't cash the check, but I had a company pick everything up and just for packing. And I waited for one or two nights, and I wanted to see what I would feel like waking up and not having all those antiques around. And the only word that I can really tell you that was so strong was freedom. I didn't realize that those antiques were my heritage, but they weren't my taste.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I went through the same thing. Of course, there was a piece that was my father's, and it was hand-carved, you know. Mm-hmm. And way back when I was 10 years old, an antique dealer offered my mother $2,500 for that piece when I was 10 years old. And everybody, that is a long, long time ago. And so I hated the thing. I really did. It was one ugly piece of furniture. But my son loved it. I said, here, it's yours. Take it.
Please.
Can I help you pack it? How would you like it? He swears he will never get rid of it.
Yeah.
He loves it. It was my dad's chair, but he says it is the most comfortable chair he has ever had to get in. It's a craftsman chair, and it was made during the craftsman era, and it is a hand-carved craftsman chair.
Wow.
That's the way things are. So
yeah.
Now you talk about an inspired home with spirit. Now, don't you also say that rooms have no feelings? And so how can a home have spirit? Now, I know you're not talking about ghosts.
Not those spirits.
Okay, fine.
Actually, it's your own spirit. And
oh.
When you're inspired, if you just take the word apart, if you're inspired, you're in spirit.
Oh,
and
I
so
see.
When you go buy things for your home, that those pieces are inspirations for you. That's why you're buying it. That's why you're spending your money, because there's something about it that you're inspired to own. And when you do that, there's a part of you that's in there, and that's then you're in your spirit.
That's interesting.
And as you add pieces more and more, your home just gets filled with more of your spirit.
It's interesting. I have very eclectic tastes. My tastes go from antiques to modern. And I have to figure out a way to make it all work. And people walk in and they go, oh, yeah, this is you.
Exactly.
This is really you.
Exactly. Well, look at the way you dress also. You're a very eclectic person.
Yes.
And that's your spirit. That
yeah,
is
a lot
part
of people
of
say,
you are.
How do you put all this together? I said, I don't know. It just comes to me as I'm dressing, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's
we're up against our
about.
Second break. I'm sorry, Barbara.
Okay.
I'm going to have to interrupt you for a second. We're going to start all over on the other side of this break. So stay with us, and we'll see you guys on the other side. Today we have Barbara Kaplan with us from Design Dimensions, and we're having an absolute ball talking about stuff today, aren't we, Barbara?
We are. It's a lot
absolutely.
Of fun.
Now, excuse me, one of the first things you have people do is to take a personal inventory. Now, what is the benefit of it, and what do you do with it?
Well, you know, as women especially, we grow up always thinking about clothes and what we want to buy and wear. And
oh, you have
what
no idea.
And until we have our first home, most often, we don't even think how we want to put our home together. So we take a personal inventory first of our closet. Take a look at the clothes that you have. Do you like casual clothes or formal clothes? Do you like what colors? You know, what are your favorite colors? Because very often, or I would say almost always, the colors that you look good in are the colors you feel good in. So that's a very good clue to take a look and see, what are you buying? What are you naturally gravitating to? Think about what you have on below your neck. You wear something that's flattering color to you. do you ever think about the color that's behind your head? Because people see that just as much as they see what you're wearing. Now, when you're in a home, you can control that. When you're not, when you're in a public place, you have no way of creating a backdrop for yourself.
I don't understand. Behind your head. What do you mean?
Well, okay. Right now, you are sitting with something behind your head, a wall, a cabinet,
oh,
a picture.
Okay, fine.
Okay, and that's affecting your face and how you look just as much as a blouse or dress that you're wearing.
Absolutely, because the color comes off, the light comes off the walls and stuff. And
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Think about yourself in bed. What about the sheets that you sleep on?
Mm-hmm.
And there we don't even have the benefit of makeup.
Or light sometimes.
Yes, or light, and that might be good. And everyone knows that without light, there is no color. So you can just shut off the lights and forget about the color.
Oh, there you go. Now, many people think that they can't pick the right colors for their homes. Now, how do you work with clients to instill some confidence in them?
Well, excuse me. That is actually my most favorite question, without a doubt. And that's what spurred that preference profile. It all started about color. Because color is what people fear the most.
That's
They're
interesting.
So afraid of making those color decisions. Now, Marlene, as a friend of yours, I know how color is your life also,
uh-huh.
as it is mine. Because you're not afraid of color.
Not a bit.
The stronger the color, the redder the color, the brighter the color. Color is such an important catalyst for you. And it really and truly is for most people, but they don't know it because they have pushed it down. They are afraid of it. They don't have the confidence to express themselves through a color, and therefore they don't use color.
You can see it at all the meetings where it's just waves and waves of black.
Yes, yes. And to be honest, as much as I look for color, I buy much too much black also. And the reason is that it's manufactured. It's
yes.
sold.
Yeah.
And even the designers sell black because they know that people will not buy a lot of that color.
Mm, that is a shame.
It is.
That is definitely a shame. You know, one thing I wanted to say about color that when you were talking about earlier is that, you know, the designers pick colors that are, you know, they cycle the colors from season to season
Absolutely.
To season.
Absolutely.
And one of the things that we need to do is that when you find a season where the colors are really right on you,
yes.
Buy everything you can in the colors that are great, because I can guarantee you the next season they're not going to have them.
Marlene, that is the best advice you could give, and I really forget to tell people that. You may have to wait 10 or 15 years
oh, yeah.
for a color cycle to come around again. So stock up on colors that you see when you see them.
Oh, I'm really excited right now because one of the big colors for summer this year is yellow.
Yes.
And it's a trademark color for me, and it has been a real bummer trying to find it lately. I'm going everywhere, buying everything I possibly can find in yellow.
Oh, that's great.
And it's wonderful. And, you know, sometimes the yellows are really ugly because they're a little muddy.
Yeah.
But, boy, you get those crystal yellows that they've got out there, and it's like, whoa. And everybody goes, oh, but you can wear the color so well. And I said, why do you think I'm buying it? Hello.
Exactly why.
Now, next on the path for all us do-it-yourselfers comes having a date with yourself and interviewing two friends. Okay, please explain why we need to have a date with ourselves. I can understand the interviewing friends, possibly, but you need to explain both of those to us.
Okay, well, a date is a special time, and we look forward to dates, and we set time aside and make that a time for ourselves, and usually it's with someone else. Well, who's our best friend? You know, we're always told that. We are our own best friend.
Okay.
So take ourselves for a walk through the stores and really kind of talk to yourself, preferably not out loud so they don't call, you know, store police.
My coach, yeah,
but
I know.
Actually, it's really just talking to yourself without the influence of someone else in your ear so that you can be real honest with yourself and get down deep and say, wow, do I like this? Look at that sofa. Let me sit down. Let me feel how comfortable it is. Let's look at that color. And now I'd like you to be aware of how do I look sitting in this color. Does it make my skin look good? Does it make my eyes beautiful or my hair? Those are the things that are important also. And not let other people influence you, especially not a salesperson.
Oh, absolutely, because they're dealing from a
date.
Completely different place of color.
Yes. Exactly.
Especially if they're young.
Yes. Or want to sell something. You know, and that's the other thing. This is a good time to visualize yourself, because when you haven't got anybody with you, you are dreaming and you're visualizing yourself.
And now, you do talk about visualization, and you talk about fantasy. Now, can you explain the difference between those two? Because I can guarantee you that I know I can visualize a really unbelievable place that I never could afford.
Well, you can visualize things that you've seen. You can visualize things that you know about. Yet fantasy is something that maybe doesn't even exist. It's an opportunity to be really creative and come up with something that you might never come up with before. You know, I one of the things that I offer my clients, and I make a real big point of it, because initially clients are very much afraid to say they want something. They're afraid they can't afford it. They're afraid they won't find it. And I always say, money's no object, and you can have anything you want. What would it be? Let me take care of that for you, how I can make it work for you and that it's affordable.
Wow.
And it's amazing what people come up with. People who say they are not creative, people who say they don't know what they want, all of a sudden when they're given permission to take away all those restraints and all those concerns of, I really can't have it, I really can't afford it, all of a sudden the most amazing things come out. And then you can massage it. You can change it just enough where you're still getting what you initially wanted, yet it's affordable.
Now, that's interesting. You talk about allowing. And, you know, your method, your Beharo method that you teach.
Yes.
Now, you talk about three elements: understanding, accepting, and allowing.
Yes.
And you had just talked about allowing. Now, how do these three elements work with your method of design?
Well, basically, and they are the very basis of the Beharo method, and that is, first, we have to understand ourselves. Before we make any decisions, we have to understand what it is that we need, that we want, that we can afford, that makes us happy, gives us a lifestyle in which we would like to grow and share a family and company, entertain. We have to understand all those many aspects of ourselves and how we want to express that within and to the outer world.
Hmm.
Then once you realize all that, once you've got a handle on yourself, then you've got to say, wow, I need to accept that this is a reality for me. Maybe you find out something that you didn't know about yourself, something that you had no idea about, something that you thought was impossible, something that you thought could never happen or that you could never afford, something, though, that will give you peace and comfort in your home. It's really about your heart in your home. And that's what you have to accept then as part of what you need to do to continue the designing process.
Hmm.
The allowing part is you've got to let go and trust that you can have it and that you can make it happen once you've had the discovery. A lot of people don't know that they have to give up some control and let go of some of the fears that they have about it happening. And other people have to come in very often to help you also. You have to let people into your home. If it's a plumber or a painter or a cabinet maker, you still have to allow that process to occur with other people involved in it.
Hmm, that's very interesting. Now, you also use the word authenticity. Now, it's an unusual word that comes up when working with interior design. Isn't everyone authentic? Can you explain what you mean in design terms?
Well, in design terms, so often we look in magazines and we buy what's on sale and we buy what our neighbor may have rather than what we really want to buy.
Wow. Now that I like to hear. We're going to talk more about that. We're up against our third and final break, everybody. Boy, this has gone fast, hasn't it? So stay with us and we're going to see you right on the other side of this break. And this is Dr. Marlene, and you are listening to Amazing Women, Brains, Beauty, and Style. And right now, I want Barbara Kaplan, who is our guest today from Design Dimensions in Arizona, I want Barbara Kaplan to tell everybody, how can they get a hold of you, where can they find you, where can they read about you, you know, all the stuff.
Okay. Well, I have a book called The Beharo Method, Rooms Have No Feelings, You Do. It's on Amazon.com.
Or you can find it on the front page of Amazing Women, Brains, Beauty, and Style.
Absolutely.
We put it up there a couple of days ago.
Oh, thank you. Absolutely, it's there. I also have a website, BarbaraKaplan.com, and Kaplan is K-A-P-L-A-N. And I also have a blog, which is howtobeyourowninteriordesigner.com.
That's the one I like.
And The Secret World of Interior Design.
Yes, I like both of those. You know? I went, ooh, I like both of those.
That's why I'm using both. I have to decide one or the other, though. You'll have to help me, Marlene.
No, actually, just have one point to the other, and no matter which one you want, it'll go into it.
There you go.
And that's what you do.
Okay.
And so it's like I've got 4 or 5 different ways to get to either one of my websites. I use the easiest one possible. But, I mean, you can put in Amazing Women, right, BBS.com, which is a lot of typing. Or you can put AWBBSSHOW.com, which is a whole lot less typing.
Yes.
So, and that's what we're into today. We're into fast, quick, and Twitter methods, as I like to tell everybody. And I didn't tell everybody that they could get me on Twitter today because for some unknown reason, they're not putting my stuff through on Verizon today. They say, you need to do something, and I haven't done it yet.
It's not always so easy.
No, it's not. You know, I keep saying they need to make this stuff easier. My husband says, honey, they're making it as easy as they possibly can. But it's not easy for me. Now, were we talking about the soul space or not?
Well, we were talking about authenticity.
Okay.
And I'd like to just tell your viewers, that your listeners, that it's really about what I like to do is empower people. And it's about having the confidence to do this yourself. And there's a story that a client told me that when we finished her home, a friend of hers came over, and her friend said, oh, I can see you had a designer help you because this doesn't look like you. And, of course, I was devastated when she told me that. And I said, well, she said, but wait, you know what I told her?
What?
I said, well, this is the me I didn't know I was.
Oh, my word.
And that's what I would like to share with all of the listeners, because designing your home is a discovery. It's a journey of discovery about yourself. It's a time when you can take to really don't rush into decorating your home. The most hated word that I say to my clients, and then they thank me profusely for it, is wait. People move into a new home or decide they want to do something in their home, and they go, okay, I'm ready. Come over. Do it right now. Or they go shopping or whatever it is. And then they find the very first thing, and they're all excited. I like this. I'm going to buy this. I always say wait. Live in your home for a while before you make decisions. When I sold all those antiques and moved into my contemporary house, I waited 1 year before I bought the first thing.
Wow.
And I really couldn't buy anything before. It's not even, I really honestly didn't even wait. I just couldn't because I didn't know who I was. I had spent 30-something years of my life living with one thing. And I had to get rid of those things and make space first to find out what it is that I really wanted. It takes time. It's like you say, Marlene, when you're losing weight, you have to take some time to learn about the new you.
Oh, yes.
You know, you can't just go out and buy new clothes because how do you know what kind of clothes you even want to wear in this new body? And it's the same way with your home. It's change. We become different people. We grow. We learn. Everything changes us in our life, and our home can change with us. It's the olden days when people used to get married and buy what was called a living room suite or a dining room suite.
Oh, my word, I remember that.
And you kept it forever, and then you handed it down generation after generation. Those days are over. We have IKEA. We have Crate and Barrel. We have disposable furniture. It's just not the same anymore. And it's really good because you have that opportunity now to experiment. And it's okay to make a mistake because it can be changed. It's good if it's not a big mistake and a costly mistake, and that's why I say take your time. Don't rush into a decision.
You know, that's absolutely the best thing it is. And basically, the same thing happens when we buy clothes. You know, oh, it looks great on in the store, and you get it home, and you get it in your own light, in your, against your own background, and you look at it and you go, why did I buy this?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, my word, this thing makes me look fat. And back it goes.
Exactly. But it's harder to do it with furnishings.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's why people are more afraid to make those decisions, and they settle for something that's safe. That's another four-letter word that drives me crazy, safe. Don't buy something just because it's safe.
Oh, please.
Safe is also very boring and has no energy to it.
Yes, absolutely. I thoroughly agree with that. It's like, you know, people looked at me like I was nuts when I said, my downstairs powder room is painted red. And they went, oh, how can you do that? And I went, it was real easy. I got the red paint, put it on the walls, you know.
Yeah, and that, you know, the powder room is the most fun room because you spend the least time in it.
Exactly.
It can be the most outrageous.
And I did. I was totally outrageous, and yet people would walk in and go, oh, my word, this is really neat. Well, wait till they see my office. It's done in purple and goldish yellow. Hello.
Wow.
My two favorite colors.
That's fabulous.
I got to ask you before the end of the show. Now, we've only got about 3 minutes. What do you want to go down as an interior designer? What do you want your legacy to be?
Wow. I think what I'd like to do is rock, as we said at the beginning of the show, I'd like to rock this industry to the point where the designer is not in control of a project.
Ooh, that would rock it.
Yes, I would like the client to be in control, and for every design project to be a fulfilling experience for everyone concerned, especially and most importantly, the client. I always tell my clients when this project is over, I go to my home, but you stay here. So this has to be a reflection of you. And that's what you have to remember in any decorating that you do, that your home, your office, your car, your boat, your plane, whatever you may have, is a reflection of you.
Oh, I know. I had a friend. The first thing she would do is she'd get into a new car. How do I look in this color?
That's right. And why not
Men
bring a
think
pillow?
We're idiots, but you know what? It works every time.
Yes. And Marlene, do you have a yellow pillow in your car?
Yes, I do.
Whoa.
As a matter of fact, it's slightly yellow, but my car seats are leopard.
Ah, what fun.
Is that me or what?
Yes, and you put it puts a smile on your face every time you get into your car.
Oh, absolutely. I love it. It's so much fun, you know. I mean, there was a while there you could walk through my home and you found leopard throw rugs all over my house.
Wow.
And so I changed those to zebra, and I like those just as much as a leopard.
Absolutely, because you outgrew the one and you grew into the other.
Oh, no. I put them away because when I get sick of the zebra, I will put the leopard back.
Then they come back. That's fun.
You know what? You can't find them anymore.
No, that's right.
Because they're out of fashion, out of style. And if it goes out of fashion, out of style, I put it away.
Exactly.
And some things should go out of style. You know, Nehru suits went out of style. That is a definite should be. So listen, we're running over today. Barbara, it's been absolutely delightful having you on.
It was such fun. Thank you for
having
me.
Thank you so much. And hey, everybody, don't forget, we're going to be on again next week at 2 o'clock. And I want all of you to remember, the best thing we women will always have is we're women.